23511 user experience. Today we're moving on to part three, building the user experience and how we develop for the user experience. So most of what I'm going to say in this discussion, I'm sure you will already know because you're software engineers already and you've already done development. So user experience really comes from agile development. Agile and user experience are pretty much common bedfellows, if you like, in the development life cycle. So what you need to, what you really need to understand is that we will be building agile systems, and the agile life cycle is one of the life cycles that I think is particularly suited to UX development, because the user is always in there, because it's a life cycle, it continues to loop. Now in some cases you do need things which are a bit more old schooly, waterfally, where you only get one shot to do this, and so that makes it very, very difficult to make changes, especially in safety critical systems, things like flight control, etc. They take lots of time in building user models. They test users in simulations before they actually capture that way of working and placing it into an actual artifact, i.e. a plane, for instance. So there's a lot more effort goes into making sure that the simulation of the user, of the interface and the user experience is done, and probably that can happen in a reasonably agile way, but it must fit within the entire life cycle of a safety critical system, which typically doesn't then update after it's finished, it's frozen. And the same is true, for instance, for healthcare systems, for medical systems, that you have to freeze your system if you want to get you have to code freeze it if you want to get a class 1 or 2 medical device status, which means it can be used with people for healthcare. If you don't freeze it, then you're constantly making changes. How do we know those changes aren't in the end going to kill somebody? But for 90%, 80% of cases, I suppose, then I think the agile framework is a good way to move forward. I'm going to skip over the first few pages of this because I think that you'll already know them, especially because a lot of the thesis coming from things like Somerville, etc., which you'll understand as being a pretty well-known software engineering text. We know we've got different ways that we're going to develop, such as spiral and iterative models. We've got structured analysis, blah, 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 rationale, unified process, extreme programming, blah, blah, blah. Now, I think there are two methods that are most suited to UX, and these are two ones which you might not know. One is cowboy coding, and then the other one you will know is agile development. I plan to not talk much about agile development because you're already doing this in your other units, but just so that you know, as I say, agile and UX are pretty much typically always linked together, or mostly linked together, because of the way that they have this minimum viable product, and we release fast in the agile process, and we keep releasing updates all the time so that the users are involved all the time. Cowboy coding is different. So the difference between agile and cowboy is that cowboy coding is typically used in research situations, or things called skunk works, whereby everything that you're building is research based. It's new. You're not really sure what you're doing. Typically, there's one or two people coding as opposed to a big team of coders, because nobody knows what really is going to happen. And so cowboy coding means that you're just expecting that you're building a prototype. It's not going to be the full thing. It's not going to be typically released to people before it gets refactored, but it's definitely something that is very much on the edge or the cusp, if you like, of user experience and research software in general. And so you really need to focus on the actual code base and much less on whether you're doing everything, if you like, software engineering wise correctly. And so if you don't know what you're doing, cowboy coding is the thing to do. If you do know what you're doing, if you've got a specification, if you're able to have gathered user requirements, typically user requirements might not have been gathered that well in cowboy coding because, again, it's research. People don't really know what they're doing from the start. But either way, if you have a set of user requirements, then and these user requirements are pretty solid, it's pretty clear you know what you're doing, so therefore the agile development cycle is the thing that you might want to be going for. Okay, and so as we've seen, the Agile cycle, there's different ways of doing this with regard to the Agile manifesto specifically. And I think that we don't want to get into too much detail here because, as I say, you've done this in other courses. But link those two courses together, this course and the other units that you're working on Agile. The thing that you should be very cognizant of is the separation of concerns. So here we're talking about the separation of program logic, the system software, if you like, from the interface software. And what we also want to make sure is that we're trying to build with an interface software engine that will allow us to target cross-platform builds, so that the stuff we are coding in that system is really cross-platform in nature, so we don't have to build it for each platform. For me, my current preferred way of doing these things in operation is to use Flutter and Dart for the user interface aspects, certainly the user interface control aspects for your systems, and for anything that's not process intensive, so that you can build things that are not process intensive still sit on the software. And then I would use Rust as the system software to expose RESTful APIs, which are then called via the Flutter Dart infrastructure. Now, some people might also like to use Rust as the main language for everything, and then they will just have different interface components, and there's different cross-platform wrappers that you can use that sort of work a bit like the Electron framework, but they're a bit cleaner, a bit more lightweight. Okay. I think we're going to skip over the model view controller architecture because that now is something that you probably already know and it's quite well understood. I particularly like service-oriented architectures, especially those that are around microservices and DevOps. I think microservices and DevOps fit quite well because it means that you can get lots of parallelization in the development of the both system software and the interface software, and then just join them at the end, if you like, or at least add them to the same communication bus at the end. And I think this is the most important part. It's really important for microservices frameworks if they're created correctly. So here I mean highly decoupled pieces of software whereby they're communicating via a shared communication pathway, but they're not actually sending messages directly to and from each other. They're placing messages onto the bus and they're consumed by things that want to consume them. So everything can run independently, and you can easily build new pieces of software and interface software that can then consume this information. You should obviously conform to Windows managers, window managed toolkits, and remember skins are something that you can also that's also interesting and to use. You should also think about circling back to UXD and visual design at this point to just double check that what we're really talking about when we think about development in the context of skins and platforms and GUIs, etc., is visual design languages again, or visual design systems. So these design systems, these design languages have been created so that you get the same look and feel across all platforms in that context. We'll look at these in a little bit more detail as we go forward, but this is something that you should really think about to make sure that you're creating holistic software. Now, or holistic interfaces anyway, certainly across the platforms that you're building them for. Remember that if you're using something which is cross-platform like Flutter, then it has its own generation engines and all the cross-platform stuff. They have all their own generation engines to make the work that you're doing look native on iOS, on Android, Linux, Windows, Mac. So this is a really, and the web, of course, and so this is really important. But obviously, if you've got a new platform, if there's something that you're building that's on the research edge, then you might need to make a whole new cross-platform generator to deal and handle the information or the interface that's being built. Alternately, that if you like, that generator, that engine, might of course also have to capture the requirements for, say, material design. So maybe you've decided your platform is going to use material design. If that's the case, it needs, then your generator for the cross-platform component is going to need to implement a version of material design that can actually be generated for your particular platform. Don't underestimate the engineering that's going into this, and also don't underestimate the actual amount of work you'll need to do if you do really do want to create a new platform and get people to code for it. Okay, so you really need to have some of these cross-platform tools so that people can just press the button and a new version pops out. Okay, so I don't want to say much more on software engineering and the development life cycle. Again, I swing back to summarize this, and in my view, then you should be looking at using Agile and UX unless it's a research software, in which case you should use Cowboy. That my personal preferences, but you probably should come up with your own, are Flutter and Dart for the user side, and Rust for the server side, for the system software, for the stuff that's really chunky, and to link those together through RESTful interface calls, especially if it doesn't matter too much about the speed of those interactions. Secondly, you should also look into the idea of microservices architecture, because the way that we operationalize this, I think, is quite important. And I think that fits in better with DevOps, whereby you've got this consistent development and operations lifecycle, whereby users will input issues with the system, and then they'll be corrected as you go. Okay, so that's part of the Agile's life cycle, but it also means that development operations are conjoined. I think this is quite a good way to work, especially for user experience, because the requirements of the users are always taken into account in this kind of iteration, and the iterations are not long. So that's another thing, you want it to be quite quick before an implemented or requested iteration, a requested change, gets into an iteration and can then make it into the actual production code. Okay, and on that, I shall let you go, and we'll be moving on to prototyping and rapid application development in the next one.